Thank you for singing out. You may be seated.
It was the part of the service that he dreaded, when the congregation stood to bow their heads. He was well acquainted with that guilty feeling and the echo of the words the preacher said. So often he declined the invitation, for Jesus Christ to cleanse and set him free. But today he made his way down to the altar, knelt down a sinner, but stood up redeemed.
Calvary wins again, hallelujah. Calvary wins again, amen. There's still wonder-working power in the blood that covers sin, hallelujah. Calvary wins again.
As long as there is life, there will always be a struggle.
Choice for Jesus. Satan has a plan to stop salvation's song. But the Holy Spirit still draws souls to Calvary. And the power of the cross still saves today. And for every time a sinner meets the Savior, I believe the halls of heaven rise to say, Calvary wins again, hallelujah. Calvary wins again, amen. There's still wonder-working power in the blood that covers sin, hallelujah. Calvary wins again.
Thank you for the young people. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles out, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter number 11, and kind of getting a starting point for the message tonight, and then we'll get some introduction with the message. In Proverbs 11, verse 29, when you find that, if you stand to your feet, we'll read one verse this evening. Proverbs 11 and verse number 29. Proverbs 11, as you find that if you stand to your feet in verse number 29, is it just me? It sounds like I'm maybe a little quiet. I'm not sure if it's me or the mic or what the case may be. In verse number 29, the Bible says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise in heart. Let's read that together, if you would please. Ready and begin. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this night. Thank you for the church you've given us, for so many that have served in many, many areas throughout the day. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing of souls being saved and baptized and being in church, Lord, and working in lives. Lord, what a blessing that is. Pray that you be with this service tonight and speak to hearts and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Been looking at the subject and preaching about the last couple of weeks about focusing on your family. Focusing on your family. We've covered this in our basic training lessons really for a couple of weeks with speaking of marriage and the home. But I want to cover a few topics in particular because the subject of the home is a very important subject. And there's much to be covered with that. And to try to cover it all in a 30-minute lesson is impossible. And so I'm not going to try to cover more than that tonight, but trying to split that up through a number of weeks because no one wants to sit here for hours and listen to me speak. And so don't amen that, guys. Wrong timing. You get to stay here. Everyone else has to leave. Amen. All right. Good. We got that covered. Talking about the subject of our families. Again, as I mentioned before, I'll mention again, the strength of our church is a home, is our homes. We're only as strong of a church as our homes and how we are individually. And that's why it comes down to you fulfilling your role in walking with God as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a mother and a father. And as you fulfill your role at your home and you strengthen your home, and then you strengthen your church, and the work of God continues and is built on from there as well. As I mentioned before, your greatest ministry and influence is within the walls of your own house. Many times we think, well, the greatest thing that I have to do is to go and make money. No, it's not. That's your job. That's your profession. I get that. But you are more than just a job, more than just a paycheck. But as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a home, as a Christian, your ministry and your home is important to your spouse. You could have the greatest career and you go home and you lose your marriage. You messed it up. Right? You can have the greatest ministry in seeing souls saved, and trust me, we want to see souls saved, but you go home and you neglect your children, you missed it. And you don't want to wait till there's a problem. At the end of our street, there's a house that caught on fire, and I'm not sure how long ago it was, 6 months, probably more. And we happened to be up a little bit late, and I looked out the window and saw fire trucks and smoke, and it was around midnight, and I walked outside and went down the street, and I just thought, I don't know what I can do, but I feel like if there's something I can do, I need to be here. And the neighbor's attic fan caught on fire, and the neighbors saw it and woke him up, and it about destroyed the whole house. They've ripped the whole roof off, but it's been sitting there, just boarded up for months and months and months. They're finally starting to build it, but the house, more than just the house, the family was almost destroyed. And thankfully, there was someone there to knock on the door, and the firemen came and they put it out. But man, it was close to destruction. Families, parents, you don't want to wait until there's a problem with your kids to give them the attention that they need. Your wife's telling you, we've got a problem. We need to work on our marriage. Guess what? You got to work on your marriage. It's time. You say, I'm busy. No, you're not too busy for that. It's time to work on. You say, I've got to leave. You're like, well, you got to stay home then, maybe. You got to deal with that issue, or you're going to come home to nothing and no one, and that would be a problem. We talked about the family relationships, first of all, your family relationships. First of all, your relationship with God is most important in your life. Remember that. Your relationship with God is the number one relationship in your life, and if that is out of order, your home is out of order, your job is out of order, your life is out of order. Your relationship with God is essential to spending time with God. Being right with God helps you to be right with your spouse. It helps you to be right with your children and job. It makes everything fit into place, but when that's not in place, nothing else is going to fit in place properly. So making sure your relationship with God is right, and then the relationship with those within your home, with, again, your spouse, with your children, with siblings. Relationships take work. Did you ever notice that? They take work. They take time. They take attention. And they take love, they take time, attention, and money. Won't re-preach everything there. Then we looked last week about family convictions. When your relationships are right, then your home must be built on God and on the Word of God, right? Your home should not be built on entertainment and shows and sports and activity. It should not be built on that. It should be built on God and on the Word of God. Amen? That's what our homes must be built on. A spiritual home is not a home where you just bring your family to church. We better be careful that we don't just get involved in spiritual activities and think, well, we're a spiritual family. We must be right with God because we go to church every Sunday. That's not a spiritual home. And you must have convictions. Number one is this. We talked about you must spend time in God's Word. We went back to that one again. Then number two, we must stay faithful to church. What you live on Sunday must be what you live on Monday. Now, I don't wear a suit and tie all week long. There's times I go out in public and you're like, oh, you don't look like you did on Sunday morning. No, I don't wear this all week long. But the convictions should still be the same. Amen? And when you're one thing at home and another thing at work and another thing at church, the hypocrisy is a killer. It must be built on God, faithful to church. Family convictions, we will live wholly separated lives. So we won't get into the details of that. And then we will serve God together. We looked at that in Joshua 24. And Joshua said, "And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You may serve other gods, but I'm going to serve the one true God." This whole world may go the wrong direction, but you may say as a parent, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, father, you say, "As for me and my house, we will serve God." You kids ever do that? Well, why do they get to go and do that? I'm not their parent. It's not my house. I'm not in charge of them. And I'm not there to try to badmouth the other parents. They have their rules, but we don't do that. We don't go there. And so we must live wholly separated lives in serving God together. Tonight we're going to look at family conflicts. Oh, what an exciting subject to cover tonight. I'm sure there's not a family here that hasn't dealt with family conflicts that we could tell stories tonight, and we're not going to do that. All right? Family conflicts. This verse we looked at in Proverbs 11:29, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise in heart." Someone says or does something, and now siblings aren't talking to each other, won't see each other anymore. Someone gets hurt, and they're angry, won't see mom and dad, won't come around for the holidays, won't answer the calls, or they do answer the calls or the texts, but the return is not what you would hope or want. Maybe someone walked away from the Lord, and they're living in sin. Maybe divorce, maybe immorality, someone out of line, someone not right with God, and there's conflicts within the home. You ever come home and no one had to say a word, and you knew something was not right? Something happened that day, and it was your wife's children is probably what it was, right? It was your kid. No, I think it's the other way around. You, honey, your kids are the one. You come home, and you realize there was some kind of conflict that day, and the air was tense, right? You could cut it with a knife, and something was wrong. And you don't want to walk in. Well, what'd you do today? You quietly shut the door and leave and go somewhere else for a couple hours. That's not going to deal with the problem. I don't want to get personal or hurt anyone, but I could tell stories and so could you. And a lot of them that are personal and they're present and they're issues that you got to face. You have to deal with. You realize this, that family conflicts have been around as long as time has been around. You go to the first family, Adam and Eve, perfect people in the garden, and what do? They sin. And when they sin, they go hiding, and God comes to them and said, "Who was it?" And Adam said, "It's my wife. It's the woman that you gave to me. It's her fault." Blaming is never going to help the problem get any better. And Eve said, "Well, it's the serpent. He's the problem." And then what happened? Cast out of the garden, and then Cain and Abel. And the one rose up against the other and killed the other one. That's the first family. We could go on and on through the Bible. Think of David and his children. You think of Amnon. You think of Tamar, Absalom. Absalom for 40 years tried to overthrow the kingdom and tried to have his father killed. You talk about family conflicts, and he died hanging from a tree. Think of Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and Ishmael. That's an awkward situation, isn't it? Have a child with Hagar, and then I want him gone now. Kick him out. I don't want him around here anymore. And then God gave him Isaac. Well, there's issues now. Why? Because there's sin. We live in a sinful world, and we're going to have issues, and it's going to come into our homes. Think about Jacob and Rachel and Leah. That's another awkward situation, wasn't it? And Leah had child after child after child, and she was not the loved wife. All right? More than one wife, that's a problem. I think that's a conflict right there. And then finally, Rachel had two children. There was conflicts there. Always trying to seek for his attention. You could go on and on and on through the Bible. with conflicts of siblings and spouses and sin that comes into the home. And there's issues there. Does it ever make you feel any better that someone else has family problems and it's not just your own? Sometimes I quietly just smile and I think, oh, it's not just me. Praise the Lord. All right, good. Amen. Not that I want bad to be upon you, just I don't want to be the only one in that boat. And so God has given experience for us to go through that. Did you know that there's a right and a wrong way to deal with conflicts? Right? There's a right. You ever notice this? When there's a problem, there's a right and a wrong thing to say to your wife during that moment, isn't there? We have the marriage conference coming this week, and that'll be a good plug for that you should be at the marriage conference. Many times we'll show some funny videos and things about that. There's some right and wrong ways to deal with family conflicts. There's the right thing to say, and there's the wrong thing to say. And guess what? You know when it was a wrong thing to say. Maybe she starts talking more or less. They're both a problem. Or the other way around. How to deal with conflicts. I'm going to talk with you, first of all, tonight and preach about the subject of the wrong way to deal with conflicts. And we won't get past these points tonight because there's a lot of wrong ways to deal with conflict. And you ever realize, students, why your rule book in school always gets bigger? Why? Because you keep breaking the rules. If you didn't keep breaking the rules, I remember we were in college and they have you read the handbook each year and sign it to say, I read the rule book. Now, whether or not you read it or not, you signed it and said, I agreed to what was in here. But when they'd give the rule book out and you read a rule, you're like, oh, I know why they put that one there. You can put a name right next to it. And so the wrong way to deal with conflict. You're going to have conflict in family. Whether it's now, whether it's within your home, with your immediate family, extended family. It's one thing to have a conflict with a friend or a coworker, things like that. But you leave. You can find a new job. But family sticks around. You heard the expression that blood is thicker than water, and it should be. But it doesn't just make everything go away. You can't wave the magic wand and say, poof, it just went away and we're done. And you get together at Christmas time and you think, oh, this one's going to be awkward. You ever done that? Oh, I hope that they stay on this side and they stay on that side. And you got a referee and you ever do that, the buildup to the gatherings? And it's like, oh, can we just stay home? We can make a turkey and peace and quiet in our own home and enjoy peace and quiet. But then, you know, it may come to your house too. I don't know. But the wrong way to deal with conflict. And we have a number of points tonight, and we'll see how far we get with this. But number one is this, to just accept it. Just to say it's the way that it's always going to be. You know, that's a dangerous place just to give in. And we'll look at the right ways to deal with it, the wrong ways to deal with it. But just to accept it, it's a problem, but I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to pretend that there's nothing wrong and we get together and just pretend there's not an issue there at all. Just to accept it and just to say that's just the way it is, pretend it's not even there. Everyone knows it's there, but we're going to pretend it's not there. We're just not going to talk about the elephant in the room. Guess what? When an elephant's in the room, you know. And whether it's literal or figurative, just to accept it. And just to say it's always going to be that way. Well, what about prayer? What about God? What about applying to what God gave to you to believe that God can do anything? God can do anything. Now, I understand that some conflicts may be over silly things, but there's some bigger conflicts that may have to be addressed. The point of, if this isn't taken care of, you cannot come around my home any longer. This would not be safe or appropriate or right. And just to accept it. And just to say, you know what, I know you have this problem. I know you have a drinking problem. Just bring it into my house. That's not happening. Well, I'm not just accepting that. I've got children in the home. And I've got my testimony and my living before God is more important. And that's why being right with God is the most important relationship in our lives. I don't want to cast out family, but if I have to choose between God and family, my choice is God. That doesn't mean you don't love your family. Let's get that straight, all right? That doesn't mean you neglect them. It doesn't mean you cast them off. But my relationship with God is the most important relationship in my life. And being right with God, number one, the wrong way to deal with it is just simply to accept it. Number two, the wrong way to deal with conflict is just to fight about it. You have that person that they can't help it. They've just got to bring up the politics. And they just know if I start it, I'm going to get them going. You got that person that just likes to get people going, but all of a sudden it goes from something that's funny to where it's serious. Or you know when Uncle so-and-so and Uncle so-and-so get together, it's game on. Yeah, or it's fight on. And you know that it's coming. The Bible says this, only by pride cometh what? Contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. You may say, well, I don't agree with it. We'll talk about the right ways to deal with it. Come next week, we'll cover those subjects. But guess what? Fighting about it's not going to resolve anything. Right? It's just going to bring up more issues. We're just going to cause more problems. You're going to lose your temper. You're going to say something you shouldn't. You're going to offend someone and have to get that right later on. You're going to cause issues along with it. You know, there is wisdom with just holding your tongue. You say, but you know what they said about me? Bite your tongue and say, you know what? It's time for us to leave. With conflicts, you get that nasty text or phone call, and you think, oh, you ever get that one? You're like, ooh, I know exactly what I want to say, but man, I can't say it back. The Lord's not allowing me to say what I want to say back. You say, you know what? I'm just not going to answer it. You say, are you going to give me the silent treatment? Well, it's better than what I want to say, maybe. And to hold your tongue and hold your mouth. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Fighting about it's not going to solve it. It's going to cause more issues. You say, but I'm going to argue them into my point, even if it's preaching the Bible at them. Now, I'm all for tell them what you believe and why in the right spirit. But I'm not here to argue with anyone. So what's the wrong way to deal with family conflict? To just accept it? It's just the way it's always going to be. Well, pray about it. God can make a difference. Just to fight about it and just to say, all right, let's put the boxing gloves on or take them off and let's go to town. Well, that's not going to help matters either. Number three, what's the wrong way to deal with conflict? To meddle with it. To meddle with it. You have that person in your family, they've got to get into everybody's business. They've got to fix everybody's problems. The only problem is this. It causes more problems. It doesn't fix a single thing. And you think, you know what? I'm staying out of it. Don't you want to say something? Nope. Nope, not getting in the middle of it. To meddle is to interfere with something that is not your concern. The Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Passing by and say, you know what? I can fix that. You can't fix everything. That's not your job anyway. Pray that God would do it. But if it's not you involved in the issue, I shouldn't be involved in it anyway. And to meddle not with it. Proverbs 20, verse number 3. Turn over there if you would, please. Proverbs 20, verse number 3. You're already in the book. I could have had you turn to the last passage as well. Proverbs 20 and verse number 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife or to have wisdom. It's an honorable thing to say, I'm the one that you may have, you know, whoever started it, I'm going to stop it. It doesn't matter. It's amazing how many times things go back 10, 20, 30, 50 years, bringing up stuff from 50 years ago. You say, you know what, I'm not bringing it up. We're not doing it anymore. I'm not going to meddle with it. It's an honor to cease from strife. But every fool will be meddling. Getting involved in things that aren't my business, that I can't fix, I have no business dealing with it. There's no reason to meddle. Why go looking for trouble, right? When you've already got enough trouble to deal with on your own. But again, in regards to dealing with family conflict, it's there. And there's things you will have to deal with. We'll get to those points in the coming and next week. But to meddle with it, to get involved in issues that it's not directly related to you, for you to fix, not to meddle with it. Wrong way to deal with conflict, to accept it, to fight about it, to meddle with it. Number four, to gossip about it. To gossip about it. The book of Proverbs talks about gossiping as a talebearer. A talebearer is someone that maliciously gossips or reveals secrets. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 13. Proverbs 11 and verse number 13. And the Bible says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. A talebearer revealeth secrets. And as Christians, we say this, I need to tell you something that you need to be praying about, right? You need to be praying about this with me because I need to tell you about so-and-so so you can pray about that with me. We're not really intending to pray about it. We just want to be the one to break the news. And today, breaking the news is usually on social media. And you got to put everything out there for everyone to hear. Guess what? No one needs to hear all of your business on social media. They probably don't need to hear any of it. Let's be honest about that, all right? But to gossip about it, to bring your stuff into the public, that's not fixing it. That's just trying to gossip. And that stuff sticks around forever, right? You put it out there. You send it out. You speak it. You say it. And it's out there. And you're stuck with that. A talebearer reveals secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You say, well, I'm hiding sin if I do that. No, you just don't need to be the one to tell everyone about it, though. Proverbs 26 and verse number 22, if you would turn over there, please. Proverbs 26 and verse number 22. Let's go back to verse number 20. Proverbs 26, verse number 20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You get the analogy of you got a fireplace. In our home growing up, we had a fireplace. And my dad would get that thing cranking hot, and he'd put all the wood in there, and sometimes we'd sleep in front of the fireplace or next. So we had a pull-out bed. Is there anything more uncomfortable to sleep on in life than a pull-out bed? Guess what? They've not gotten any better. With all the technology, they're still as bad as they've always been. But at night, you go there, and I'd go to sleep, and that fire would be roaring and nice and warm, but you wake up in the morning, and it's gone. Why? Because there's no wood. There's no wood put in there to keep that fire going. So again, the analogy of gossiping or being a talebearer, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Someone's got to pass along the story. You say, well, someone's going to tell them. I guess it might as well be me. How about someone may say it? How about you don't be a part of it? Amen? Say, I'm not going to be a part of it. Say, they're going to find out anyway. Well, let them find out their own way, but say, I'm not going to be a part of the problem. To gossip about it. Proverbs 26 and verse number, we're already there. I'm sorry, verse number 21. So as coals are to burning coals and fire to wood, so is a contentious man to kindle strife, just to poke and to prod and to get it going, to get it flaming up even more. And then in verse 22, it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. See, what you say is eventually going to get back around to that person, going to get back around to you. And the Bible says it goes down into the innermost parts of the belly to gossip about it. That's the wrong way to deal with conflict. Say, well, they did it. They said, I've got to be involved in it. No, you don't. Stay out of it. To gossip about it. Wrong way to deal with conflict, to accept it, to fight about it, to meddle with it, to gossip about it. Number five kind of goes with a previous one, but just ignore it. To just ignore it and just pretend it'll go away. You ever have that medical issue and know I don't want to bring up the analogies about it? And you think, I've got a pain, I've got a problem. Maybe it'll just go away. Maybe it will, or maybe it'll get a whole lot worse as well. There's some things you do have to deal with, right? If it's in your home, it's something you're going to have to deal with. If it's within your realm, now kids, it's not your problem, it's not your job to deal with parents' issues, but there's things you do have to address, and we'll get to that in future lessons. But if you just ignore it, many times it gets worse, not better. But you have to have wisdom with timing and grace on how to deal with those, to just ignore it. Next one, how's the wrong way to deal with conflict? Number six is to get bitter about it, to get bitter. It's easy to get bitter, isn't it? It's easy to get angry. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26. If you don't deal with conflict the right way within your own heart, you can turn to bitterness very quickly and without even knowing it. Without even realizing that your heart has turned against that person and wronged against the Lord. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Turning down, going down here to verse number 31, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're either going to forgive or get bitter about the situation. Maybe it's that parent that keeps doing the same thing over and over. Maybe it's the child, maybe it's a sibling, whoever it may be, but it just keeps happening. If you don't get that right with God, you're going to get bitter about it in your heart. You're going to get bitter against the Lord, get bitter against that person, to get angry, getting bitter. You think of Joseph in the Bible as he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, faked his death, and they left him for dead. They thought, we'll never see him again. And when they came back to try to somewhat get things right with him, Joseph said this. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What a great spirit that he had about those that have wronged him within his own family, the people that should be caring for you the most, the ones that hurt you the most. And he said, God meant it for good. In other words, he said, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. I'm right with you. I've got nothing against you. And to get bitter. What's another way to deal with conflict the wrong way? And these aren't points on how to use it the wrong way, but things that we should not be doing, that we need to check our heart with the situation. Have I gotten bitter about this? Have I dealt with this the wrong way? Next one is this, to give in to wrong. To give in to it. Say, you know what? I'm done fighting. I'm done fighting. I'm not fighting my kid about the issue anymore. I know they're in the wrong, but I'm just going to let them do it because I don't want to fight him any longer. You have to be careful, parents. I didn't understand this point until I became a parent. How they wear you down. I'm just kidding. She's not even paying attention. We have Charlotte got to join us in church tonight. She's 5 years old, so we're in church now. But to give in. And it's easy sometimes to say, you know what? I'm done fighting. You know what? Just bring it in the house. Not a big deal. I'm not going to fight the kids. Whatever it is on the sin, on the wrong, and say, I just give in. We can never give in to sin. Right? We can never give in to sin and to wrong and to allow that, because once sin comes in, it grows, it continues, and it goes even further. And just to give in to sin. You got to fight that battle the right way. You got to fight the battle. You say, they're not going to like me if I fight the battle. They'll respect you and your testimony doing it the right way if you stand up for right and saying, for me and my family, we're not doing that. We love you. And there's times where we've said, you know what? If that's what's happening, we need to leave. We love you, but we can't be here for this part. And they not, you know, there's been times and conversations we had, and they said, but I don't understand. I said, well, that's just what we need to do in the right manner. And don't give in to wrong, though. Next is this. What's another wrong way to deal with conflict is to get revenge. To get revenge. Well, you hurt me. Well, you just wait, because I'm coming back at you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. Our flesh wants to get even. Let's be honest. Our flesh doesn't just want to get even. We want to get them back even worse. But that's not what God would have us do, is it? To get revenge. Say, you've hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. That is not the right way to deal with that. Again, having understanding forgiveness and kindness and grace is important when it comes to dealing with conflict as well. But understanding this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 17, the Bible says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You realize that there's some people that are not peaceable to live with, to get along with. And you say, you cross the line and we can't go there any further. And there has to be that line in your life. For your family, you say, we cannot cross this line. We cannot allow this. But as much as lies within, what's the next word? You. Not them, but as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, the Bible talks a lot about how to treat your enemy. And I'm not trying to say that you want to call your family member an enemy, but those that have maybe put you in that place somehow, and instead of saying, I'm going to be even with them, I'm going to tell them off next time I see them, and it's going to make me feel better. And it might make you feel better for a second, and then you realize, I just lost it. I lost a testimony that I can't get back. I hurt them in a way that I can't undo what was just done. And you can say, sorry, forgive me, and all that, but once it's out there, it's out there. The Bible says much about how to treat your enemy, that you should pray for them, you should love them, you should bless them, do good to them. Again, not allowing the evil to happen within your home, but to have a right testimony before those that are trying to do wrong. And speaking of family conflicts, and maybe you're thinking of a specific name, a person, a situation, or probably like many people, there's multiples of those going on at one time. And you think, oh, when I see that person, when we get that phone call, when this time comes around, here we go. And so there's a right and a wrong way to deal with it. You cannot undo wrong. You can ask for forgiveness. You can get a right to the best of your ability. But when you lose your testimony with that person, let's say that they're not saved, and you say, I could just tell them off. Their soul is more important than that, right? They walked away from the Lord, and you say, well, they're in the wrong. Well, they're not walking with God. Why don't you be, so to say, the bigger person? Why don't you be the spiritual person in the situation and say, I'm not going to lower myself to that place, but let me take the higher road. Don't get involved in the areas of conflict that don't involve you, that you don't need to be involved with it or dealing with it the wrong way. Keeping a right testimony before God. So conflicts, are they going to come? Yes. Are they probably going to keep coming? They probably will. But then you pray that God would help to work through those situations, that maybe you could be a testimony to help that person that is not right with God, that's not saved, that maybe is in the wrong in the area, and you can be the person to help them to be in the right in their life. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that you help the message tonight. Lord, I don't know if the subject has been covered thoroughly, but Lord, may we be careful and wise in areas of family conflict. Lord, it brings great sorrow when you think of those relationships that are not right, that maybe someone chose to go another direction. Someone chose to live apart from the Lord. Someone chose to try to hurt you, and you have to try to choose to do what's right. Help us, Lord, to treat those with grace.